In the past, we've looked at the opening pasuk of our parsha and raised a major question, namely that the Ziknei Yisroel are also being summoned, and there appears to be no part that they play in the succeeding ritual associated with the Chanukah HaMishkan. And we've offered in the past the answer of the Kli Yochor, also a very major thesis from the Rabbi Yosef Salanter. But this evening, what I would like to direct your attention to begin with, is a very beautiful interpretation of the entire Pasuk, which includes a solution to that problem, found in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's comment is on the words in his commentary, Bayom Koro Moshe Liaharon. And he is now going to explain to us exactly what this Pasuk means. And he says as follows, Da, you should know, Ki ho oseh dovor kozeh, that under normal circumstances, a person like Moshe Rabbeinu, who is involved in this particular situation, Sheyitein Gedula, where he is now preparing to give over a position of greatness, Hanoda'aslo, with which he himself is intimately familiar. Because, as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu has, for the first 7 days of the Miluim, he has indeed officiated himself as Kohen Gadol, and he is now preparing to give over this Gedula Lezuloso to someone else. He has to part with it. Under normal circumstances, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, when an individual has to give over, whether he likes it or not, something of great importance to someone else, Lu Yehochiv, even though that other person might be his brother, Kasher Yischayev La'asosa, when the individual is obligated to do so, Lo Yishlot B'Nafsho Asosa B'Gimel Shleimiyos. That individual, under normal circumstances, doesn't have the ability to control his emotions in order to perform that act of giving over as completely and as perfectly as one would like. For instance, Hoachas, Sheyaaseno B'Mehirus, a person who gives over something to another person, if it is something of value, he'll never do it quickly. He won't hasten to do it. He'll postpone it as long as he can. Habez, Vitzeiruf Bechinos Hahadrogos Sheyeshnom Badover. If this gedula that an individual is being obligated to give over consists of many stages, the individual will be very, very loath to perform all those stages at the same time, because he's not doing it with a full heart. So he'll do a little bit now and a little bit later. And number three, Asiyas Hadover Bepirsum Lifnei Rabim. That individual who has to give over something precious to someone else will not be so anxious to do so publicly, because it hurts him so much, he will do it as privately as he possibly can. That's under normal circumstances. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Hodia HaKosel. Therefore, our apostle comes to inform us, Ki Shaloshtom Yachad, that in these three areas, Sholat Moshe Benafsho, Moshe Rabbeinu, being the man of greatness that he was able to subdue any feelings which he might have of sadness at having to give over the Kehuna Gedola, which he has enjoyed up to now, to Aharon, Va'asa'om, and he has carried out the duty of handing over in its most perfect way. Namely, not any one of these three items has been ignored. Keneged HaMehirus. In regards to whether Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Kehuna Gedola with zeal, we know that he did, because the Pasuk says, Vayehi Bayom HaShemini, which the Or HaChaim HaKadosh takes to mean, Perush Vihiyos HaBoker Tehor Lev Lo Ikev, Elotekev Korol Yaharon, Loseis Lo HaKuhuno Velonis Atzel. Vayehi Bayom HaShemini means, for the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, no sooner had the eighth day arrived than Moshe Rabbeinu immediately, without a moment's hesitation, prepared himself to hand over the Kehuna Gedola to Aharon. Beis. Asa Hadavar Moshe Rabbeinu did this handing over, Betziruf Bechinat HaHadrogos. He did so combining every element of this appointment, not ignoring or delaying any one aspect. Namely, Shonosan HaKehuna LiYaharon, not only did he immediately give the Kehuna Gedola to Aharon, but Uvanav, he initiated his sons immediately, Yachad, together with their father. And you have to recall that handing over the Kehuna Gedola to Aharon is one thing, but actually having to appoint his sons as Kohanim indicates that not only has Aharon himself merited to become a Kohen Gadol, but what he is now becoming is the ancestor of a tradition which will serve till the end of time. So it's not just an appointment of one-off. It is an appointment for all generations. Hagam, therefore, you might have thought, ki boze yigdal ho'itzovon v'libo, that in regards to giving over to Kahuna, to his children, you would have imagined that there would be greater sorrow, sheyir'e gedula mosheches li'aharon uvonav, because he is now witnessing the beginning of a continual process, which will start with Aharon and his sons, and go on till the end of time. And you might have thought that had he been sad, then he would have anointed Aharon today, and sometime later his sons. No. You might have thought that, Bitechilo Yikro li Aharon, and then Viachakach Levonov. Shilo Hoyo Hechreach Bikriya Sabonim Ozim Aharon. Because it wasn't essential that his sons be appointed Kohanim at the same moment as their father was being appointed a Kohen Gadol. But nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu, to show how completely and with perfect understanding he was giving over to Aharon, he gave over not only to Aharon, but also to his son. And then the third item, in order to indicate to you that he was so happy at the prospect of giving over the Kehuna Gedola to Aharon that he didn't want to do so privately, but he was even prepared to do so barabim, it was b'matzav kol hazekeinim. That's why the Torah mentions that he called to Aaron and his sons, and to Lezikne Yisrael, la'asos hadover befumbi, so that the whole process of an appointment should be carried out in public, b'fenei rabim v'nechvodim, v'ze yore al shleimus horotzon, la'asos ritzono yisporach, v'kofa herger shosom. So therefore, as far as the Orachayim HaKodosh is concerned, the opening pasuk is a song of praise to Moshe Rabbeinu, that so complete was his avodas haborei, that there was no essence of the personal regret or personal sadness at having now to give over for all time the Kehuna Gedola to his brother, but as an Eved Hashem, he did so b'shleimus in the most perfect way imaginable. That is the Orachaim's interpretation of the opening pasuk. What came to my attention during the course of the past few days was, to my mind, one of the most fascinating explanations of why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu calls not only on Aaron to appoint him as a Kohen Gadol, but also to his sons and to the Zikne Yisroel. And I present it to you as follows. There is a Tosfos in Yoma, in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. I'll just read out one or two lines. The Tosfos says as follows. The Yesh Lomar, we would like to suggest the Kohen Gadol mismane bepeh who mistalek bepeh, that the Kohen Gadol is appointed by word of mouth and he can be thrown out by word of mouth. Uve Yerushalmi dorish le mikra. And if you look into the Jerusalem Talmud, you will see that this is in fact based on an interpretation of Psukim in the Torah, that the Kohen Gadol is to be appointed only by word of mouth. Umistabro, says the Tosfos, we believe that it is logical to suggest shehadovo tolui b'melech, that the appointment has to be made by the king, uve'echov hakohanim, and by his brothers, the kohanim. So who has to be involved here? In the appointment of a Kohen Gadol, there has to be his fellow Kohanim, and there has to be a Melech. If we add on to this Tosfos a statement by the Rambam, by Maimonides, in Hilchas Kelei HaMikdosh, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Tesvav, Ein Ma'amid in Kohen Gadol, Elo Beistin Shel Echad V'Shivim. In order for a Kohen Gadol to be appointed, there has to be an appointment by a Sanhedrin of 71. As far as the Tosfos and the Rambam together are concerned, there are three elements in the appointment of a Kohen Gadol. It has to be an appointment by his fellow Kohanim, it has to be an appointment by the Melech, and it has to be an appointment by the Sanhedrin Shel Shivim V'Echa. Vayehi Bayom Hashmini Koro Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu has a deal of Melech. Vayehi B'Shulam Melech. Le'Yaharoni calls to Aaron because Aaron is to be appointed Kohen Gadol. But in order to be appointed Kohen Gadol, there has to be the agreement of Echav HaKohanim, according to Tosfos Ulevanov. And since according to the Rambam, it has to be done with the agreement of the Sanhedrin, and we know that there was, even at that time, a body which was resembled the Sanhedrin, because when Moshe Rabbeinu prepared to ascend Har Sinai, he left with the Jewish people, V'shivim Mizikney Yisrael. So that is why we can suggest, Vayehi Bayom Hashmini Koro Moshe Li'Aharon Ulevanov Nizikney Yisrael. Aharon is being called on to be initiated into the Kohen Gadol, and that has to be done by Moshe Melech, one of Echov HaKohanim, Zikne Yisrael Sanhedrin. Now let us move on to the actual process of dedication. And we come across a most fascinating pasuk, and that is in pasuk Vav. And here there is much to say. Vayomer Moshe, Ze hadavar asher tzivo Hashem ta'asu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is the matter which the Almighty has commanded that you should do. Ve'yero aleichem kevod Hashem. So that the glory of Hashem should appear unto you. Now, this is a posuk which would make a great deal of sense if it was a posuk coming before what the Bnei Yisrael were going to do. But the problem is, this is a pasuk which comes after the Bnei Yisrael have already performed whatever it is that they have to do. So therefore the question is exactly what is being conveyed by this pasuk. And here we come to the Netziv, the HaMikdover. It's a long HaMikdover, but as we will see, it is a thesis which is most basic and which cannot be emphasized enough, especially in these times. We go through slowly. Ze haposuk omer dorshuni. This is a pasuk which cries out for interpretation. Shehare kvar osu masha aleihem. Because they have already performed what it was their duty to perform. Ze heviu hakol el penei ohel moed. And they have brought everything that they had to bring to the ohel moed. Umar ohem la sosod. And what more do they have to do? So what are these words? They've already done everything. The Dorishu Chazal, the Torah Kohanim, and on this verse, in the Torah Kohanim, which is the rabbinic commentary to Vayikra, we find the following drosha, a drosha which the Netziv will tell us is even more mysterious than the pasuk. The drosha goes like this. Oh, Malahem Moshe Li Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jewish people, Oso Yetzer Hora, Heviru Melibachem. This Yetzer Hora, take out from your heart. Yisihiyu Kulechem, so that all of you should be, Beyiro Achas, in one fear of God, Uvi Avodo Achas, and in one type of service, Lishoresh Lipnei Hamokom, to serve the Almighty. Kishem Shehu Yechidi Bo'olam, in the same way as he is unique in the world, Kach Tehei Avodasechem Yuchedes Lifonov, so should your service of him be unique. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Umaltem Mesor Lat Levavachem, you shall circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Mipnei Ma, why? Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I am the Lord your God, Hu Elokeihu Elohim, He is the God of all gods, Vadonehu Adonim, and the Master of all masters. Asisem Kain, if you will do this, Yero Aleichem, Kevod Hashem, then the glory of the Almighty will appear to you. Says the Netziv, Zehadrush, this interpretation offered by the rabbis, Sorech Odioser Biur Viguf HaMikra. It requires even more elaboration than the pasuk which apparently it comes to explain. Vegam, and furthermore, Mashayach Lekan, what relevance can there possibly be to our verse, in the verse which is brought by the Torah Kohanim, Ki Hashem Elokeichem, etc. So that's his question. What does the pasuk mean? And obviously the rabbis perceived the difficulty that we perceived in the pasuk, namely that it cannot be referring to something that the Bnei Israel have got to do in the future, because everything that they have done in regards to the dedication of the Mishkan, they have already done, as is recorded in the previous pasukim. So what's it all about? So they bring a drosha. It's called the drosha, the mystery. Says in its chief, the entire matter can be explained in the following way, the pasuk and the drosha. Dikvar hoya bimei Moshe, already in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, even at this stage in our history, there were amongst our people kitos b'Yisrael, groups of Jews, shahayu lehutim achar ahavas Hashem, whose entire ambition in life was to achieve a unity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avolo al yedei gevulim shehigbila Torah. But these people were convinced that the end justifies the means. If I want to come closer to Hashem, then every way must be justified, because the end justifies the means. And as indeed I will explain later on in Parshas Korach, Shezeh hoya ikar hachet shel reish nun anoshim, that this indeed was the sin of the 250 men who joined with Korach, Shehoyu tzadikim gemurim. Let there be no doubt in your mind, says the Netziv, the 250 men who joined with Korach, they were tzadikim of the highest order. Elamai, v'chotu'u b'nafsho sam, but they committed a grave sin in their souls. B'meshemosru atzmam lemisa, because they gave themselves over to death, al yedei teshuko kedoshazu, because of this enormous holy urge, lahasig ahavas Hashem, to achieve that bond with Hashem, al yedei haketores, through the ketores. Even though they knew that according to the parameters laid down by the Torah, they were not people who were either commanded or even permitted to bring ketores. Only Sharaka Harun of Anoviakchir. So here you had in the time of Korach people whose motivation was of the ultimate, the most sincere. And their motivation blinded them to everything else. Usur and Mutter played no part in their vocabulary. They said, because our end is so pure, our ambition is so praiseworthy, it makes no difference if the means that we are going to use is legitimate or illegitimate. Vehine. So that was later on. Says the Netziv, but Kvar Yoda Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu was well aware, Shekitos Ko'elu Misnotzitzos, that in and amongst the Jewish people, even at this early stage in their national career, there are those groups who are leaning that way. But they were not prepared, as they say in other contexts, to come out of the closet. They were hiding this particular view of theirs, but it was there. Al Kain, therefore, Bevel Yom Hisra'os Gilu Shechina. Therefore, on the day when the Shekhinah was revealed to the Jewish people, and the appearance of the Shekhinah, Shelozeh Hoya Tachlit Teshukosam, which was the summit of what these people wanted to achieve, as it says in Shir Hashirim Rabo on the Pasuk, Moshcheni Acharecha Norutza, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lehutim Hoyu Yisrael Acharei Shechina, Ayin Shom Beyorech. This was the great passion which consumed all of Israel, and in particular these Kittos, these groups. Elah, however, Shehavin Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu understood, Shemikol Mokom, that nevertheless, Yesh Belev Kamo Anoshim, Alma Shehigia Ho'inyin Al Yedei Prote Ofanim Elu. He knew that in the hearts and minds of many of these people who formed these groups, that they were under the impression that since the Shekhinah was brought down to the Mishkan through the performance of certain ritual, they were prepared to perform this ritual themselves in order to achieve a greater communion with the divine, even though they knew full well that this was something which they were not commanded and therefore not permitted to do. We know that the only way in which the Shekhinah can be brought down is not just by the performance of these rituals. The only way in which the Shekhinah can be brought down, Moshe Rabbeinu knew, was if you perform ritual in conformity with the divine imperative. Just to perform this particular act of sacrificing an animal and burning this and sprinkling this, that's nothing, that's hocus pocus. When you do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do it, then the Gilui Shekhinah comes. Vishvil Zeh, so at the very moment when the Shekhinah appeared to the Jewish people, which was the driving passion behind these groups in Israel, Omar Moshe Li Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jewish people in general, without singling out these people, but referring to them in particular, Lo Chein Adover. Do not for one moment think that the end justifies the means, and that you are going to likewise involve yourself at times of your own volition in these same rituals in an effort to bring the Shekhinah closer to you. Ela no. Oso yeser hara haviru milibachem. Get rid of that yeser hara. Get rid of that passion which is so strong that it makes you want to ignore what is permitted and what is forbidden. The idea of wanting to attain Ahavas Hashem in itself is most praiseworthy, but the idea of letting that override all other considerations and trample Isurei Torah underfoot, that is a Yetzer Hara. Shegamzeh HaTeshuka, because, says Moshe Rabbeinu, even this desire to achieve the communion with Hashem, Afalgav Shehila Hasiga Havas Hashem Bekedusha, even though your general ambition is to come nearer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with holiness, Mikol Mokom, nevertheless, Im Hi Lo B'derech She'olo Al Ritzono Yisporach, if you do not do so, guided by the parameters which are dictated by the Torah, Eino Elo Derech Yetzer Hara. It is not the Yetzer HaTov guiding you, but it is the Yetzer Hara, which is Lahatos, which is causing you to err, Ulahatos, and to cause to a mistake, Das Gedole Yisrael Bezu HaTeshuvah. In other words, we see now where the pasuk is heading. Moshe Rabbeinu is not referring to something which they are going to do in the future. Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to what went on in the previous psukim. Because what you just did was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you. That is the only reason why V'yeiro Areichem Kivod Hashem. But if you had done the same things, but not as mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing would have happened. And now the Netziv makes a most cogent observation. The Medrash, the Torah Kohanim, says, is addressing itself to this point. There's no DIY Judaism. That's the point here. The Omar Lohem Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the Jewish people an insight into why it is so trite to plot your own course, even though your destination is praiseworthy. Why is it trace? V'yomar lehem Moshe tam lo dover. You know why? Because the Torah Kohanim goes on to say, get rid of that yetzer hara, v'tihiyu kulechem v'yiru achas, u'v'yetzu achas, l'sholish lefnei amokum. Because if you get rid of that yetzer hara, we will all be united in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, im tosimu da'atechem l'derech haTorah. If you allow yourselves to be guided in whatever you want to do by the parameters laid down by the Torah, Telechu Hakol B'Derechechot U'B'Yechzoachas. Then there'll be one Judaism. But we'll all be going and keeping to the same Torah. Mashain Kain Im Nevakish Ahavas Hashem Shelo B'Derech HaTorah. Which will not be the case if we decide that we are going to plot our own courses. And as long as our destination is praiseworthy, we can come to it by whatever route we want. You know what will happen? V'tihi HaTorah Kol Echad V'Yodo. Then there will be as many Judaisms as there are Jews. V'yihiyu agudos, agudos b'avodosom, and there will be groups doing this, groups doing that. Is kenehu neged rotzon Hashem uchavodo yisborach. That will be the tragedy. A part of the fact that it won't work, because there will be no v'yehiyu kavod Hashem unless it is zeh adover asher tzivo Hashem ta'asu. A part of anything else. Look what will happen. The entire Jewish people will hemorrhage. There will be a splintering off by this group, by the other group. And they will all be claiming that their motivations are so sincere. And therefore they're entitled to plot their own course. And at the end of the day we'll have thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of different Yiddishkeits. That is what the Torah Kohana means when it concludes, Kishem Shehu Yechidi Bo'olam. In the same way as God is one in the world, Kach Ritzono Uchavodo. Therefore it is the due respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shetehei Avodasechem Miyuchedes Lifono. That your mode of worship should also be a consistent and uniform and harmonized and unique method. Then, says the Netziv, the Torah's Kohanim moves on to refute a very basic tenet. The Hevi HaTorah's Kohanim, and the Torah's Kohanim brings a Yesod Lozeh Hadrush, a basis on which this interpretation is to rest from the Pasuk, Ki Hashem Elokechem, Hu Elokehu Elohim, etc., etc. Now it brings that Pasuk not because of the words that are quoted, but because of the words which occur at the end of that Pasuk. Because the end of that Pasuk says, Asher lo yisof bonim velo yikach shochat. Here is a basic thing. What is happening? We are being told that we have to be uniform in our observance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the same way as God is one, our manner of serving Him should also be unified. Shouldn't be splintered. So now, there is another point that has to be made. You'll say to me, but the motivation, the ambition, the destination is so sublime that surely that will blind HaKadosh Baruch Hu to any misdemeanor which we may commit along the way. So that is why the Pasuk that we've just quoted is brought, because of the words at the end of the Pasuk, namely, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take bribes. How are you going to bribe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What are you going to bribe him with? What sort of a bribe are you going to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Iyeshe Lefarech Shokhad Momon, Oh, Devorim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't suggest that we're speaking about a bribe of money. We're going to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu 20 pounds. Oh, I feel a harbi masim tovim. Or you would say, well, a bribe HaKadosh Baruch Hu with masim tovim. Shezeinu bichlal shochad. Because that's not called a bribe. The chol mashab yad odom lasos tov, harezim mechuyiv, vim kelein a shochad. Shochad is giving HaKadosh, giving somebody something you don't have to give him. Every masim tovim that we perform, we are commanded to perform. That's not called shochad. What you've got to give is the fee. It's not a bonus. So what is the shochad? Hello, Al Korcheno, what the Pasuk must be saying is that even if a person gives over Mesirus Nefeshu Devekus Nalo, even if a person demonstrates in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he or she is willing to die for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Pasuk says, Yokor Beyene Hashem Hamavasolach Chasidot, there is nothing more precious and more valued by HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the fact that his chassidim are willing to die for him. As it says about Ben Azai. So you might think that that's the shochad that you'll give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your desire and your preparedness even to die for him in order to achieve a proximity with him. Mikol Mokum, nevertheless, you have to know that even that shochad won't work. Imhu shalo al pi haTorah, if this that you want to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your preparedness to die, is in itself not in accordance with the parameters of the Torah, eino ole l'rotzon kol kach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not only will he not be impressed, but he will even punish you for having trampled underfoot the laws of the Torah in an effort to give your life over in order to attain this communion with the Divine. As we have explained in Parshas Korach, the Inyan Horan Ish, Shehoyu Chashuvu Livnei Hashem, yes, those 250 men, they were precious in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gam Acharei Shenisrafu, even after they were burned to death. But no matter how precious they were still burnt up. They were still killed. And that is what the Pasuk means when it says, Shalom Yikach Shok, that God will not be bribed, meaning, even if a person is no say nacho ala havas Hashem, he outfloating his brother, the open shayna mechuyim vazeh, the enoch hashaykh at God will mizeh, you might have thought there could be no greater bribe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than demonstrating your preparedness to give up your life in order to achieve union with him. So Moshe Rabbeinu came at this moment, at the beginning of our institutional life, in order to tell man what the straight and narrow is. Asherak, you should know, Zehadover Asher Tivo Hashem Tasu, Vijayro Alechem Kod Hashem, or Bevelova Yedid Rochem Achere, Ishkepi Rayon Levovo. But not if a person chooses his own path. The end is going to be good, the means going to be good. Kol Ze Biyarnu Mamar Chazel Beturas Kohanim Al Hamikro Haniflo Halos. This is our understanding of the interpretation of the Torah Kohanim on this amazing pasuk. Al Hamikro Haniflo Halos. And this is something we have to keep in mind constantly. The end does not justify the means. And we have clearly mitzvah habor ba'aveir is no mitzvah. Lulav ha'gozel is no mitzvah. Matzah gezula is no mitzvah. All the time our ends have got to be pure, and the means by which we attain those ends have got to be pure. That is why certain commentators say that is a repetition of the word tzedek, tzedek tirdof. You have to pursue righteous goals, and you have to pursue them by righteous means. Because if you attain righteous goals by unrighteous means, you have destroyed the concept of righteousness. It's got to be tzedek, tzedek tirdof. So this, I venture to suggest, is a Yesod Godel that we have to keep with us at all times. What I would like to do now is to look at another aspect of this ceremony of dedication of the Chanukah HaMishkan, something very, very interesting indeed. And let me draw your attention firstly to the Beit HaLevi, to the right, the left-hand column. See something very, very unusual. It's a little longish, but nevertheless, we'll see that we'll be able to work it into the psukim. Now, there is a phenomenon in Jewish law known as Shomea Keone. The one who listens is as one who recites. And by this legal maxim, I make kiddush for my family. They are Shomea, they listen. And by their attention, it is considered as if they have recited. And so, with so many other mitzvos, chazonas hashatz, to be motzi the people who cannot say it themselves, and various other mitzvos, le'ein shiur. The Beis HaLevi discusses the following situation. Ma she'omar chochem echot. I would like to comment on what a certain chochem, he doesn't identify him by name, what a certain Chochem has said, Virchas Kohanim, in regards to Duchening, Virchas Kohanim. This rabbi suggests, the Kohen Echod Yochol Lomar Virchas Kohanim, Uvisharei HaKohanim Yishmu'u, Vishomea Ke'one. This rabbi has suggested that if 50 Kohanim go up on the Duchon, then all that is necessary is for one of the Kohanim to say the Yevorechecha, Yoer and Yisah, and by the other Kohanim listening in, Shomea Keone. Their attention is considered as if they themselves have recited the Birchas Kohanim. That's what he says, and he says, halachically, that is acceptable. Says the Beis HaLevi, if that was true, if in fact this was acceptable as a halacha, bivadai de hayinu marvichim bozer lefareish leshon hamishnah b'maseches Megillah. If this was a true halacha, then it would be a load off my mind. Because I would be able to offer an interpretation to a Mishnah at the end of Gemara Megillah, which up till this time I have not been able to explain. And the Mishnah reads like this. Hamachdir Benavi, a person who gets the distinction of reading Machdir, it's not such a marvelous honor, because he didn't get called up to the Torah. He got called up to the Navi. So therefore he has to be compensated. Okay? How is he compensated? Hu Pores Al Shema, we give him the honor of being a Bal Shachris. The Hu Nosei Eskapov, and he gets the honor of being the one to Duchen. What, nobody else can Duchen? What sort of a statement is this? If he's a Kohen, if he gets Maftir, he is the one who Duchens. We're talking about it. The Lo Yodana Perusha Shall I Mishnah Bepshitas. The Ha Kol Kohen Nosei Kapov. What sort of a mission is this? Every Kohen has a duty to Duchen. But if we accept what this Chacham said, we understand what it means. That the person who gets Maftir, if he is a Kohen, he is the one who says the Birchas Kohanim on behalf of all the other Kohanim. And they listen. So that if that would be the halacha, we would have a fabulous interpretation of the Mishnah in Megillah. However, it's not a halacha, he says. Omnom ikra dover lo nehira klal. I'm not too happy with that particular idea. I don't believe it's possible for a Kohen to be mostly all other Kohanim. Why? The shomeya ke'oner shayach rak bedover d'yein sorich bo elo amira l'chud. We only say shomeya ke'oner, that I am able to be motzi you, and by your attention you are considered as if you have said it, only if the stipulation is that a recitation must be performed, and there is no stipulation as to how that recitation must be performed. But in Birchas Kohanim we know that not only must the Kohen say the brachos Yevarechecha Yoel and Yisa, but he has to say it for Kol Ram, Ka'odom Ho'omer L'chavero, as a person who talks to his fellow. And as we find in the Gemara in Sota from the Pasuk Omor Lohem, Uvozelo Shayach Shomea Kiyoneh, and therefore we cannot invoke Shomea Kiyoneh, because even if my attention is to be considered as if I have to recite it, but I've recited it quietly, because nobody's heard it from me. In Kiddush, nobody has to hear me say Kiddush. So I can listen to somebody else's Kiddush, and I'm able to say Shomea Kiyoneh. But in Birchas Kohanim, it's got to be done in such a manner that the Kohol, the Kehila, hear the Birchas Kohanim from every one of the Kohanim. And even if you say that by my attention, it is as if I have recited, but it's been a very quiet recitation. Nobody's heard it from me, they've only heard it from him, says the Beis Halevi, forget about it. There is no idea, there is no halachic basis whatsoever for the idea that through Shomea Ka'oneh, only one Kohen says the Birchas Kohanim under the Duchon, and everybody else, all the other Kohanim, keep quiet. However, I came across, quite by accident, in the Tshuvas Reishis Bikurim. Reishis Bikurim is a responsa, volume of responsa, by Rav Bezalel HaKohen Mivilna. So he's a Kohen. He's an interested party. And he speaks about a visit which he made to Trieste. We'll just join him here. Uminik Kehilo Kedosha Hanal. And the minig in that congregation in Trieste, it's the Sfardim, the Nesias Kapayim, the Shabbos Gamkein. That they duchen not only on Yom Tov, but they duchen also on Shabbos. Not in the weekdays, because it's in Chutz Lawrence, but they duchen on Shabbos as well. Uchashahayisi Shama. And when I was there, Bechodesh Elul, in the month of Elul, Shenas Bevirchas, right, Tov Reish Kav Dalet, the Hispalalti Bishabbos Kedish Pashas Shaftim, the Vesakneses Sephardim Shom, and I davened with the Sephardi Shul, Kibduni Oz B'Ezus Hashem Yisborech, they gave me the honor, Lihiyos HaKohen HaMavorech Kol Birchas Kohanim Levadi. They gave me the honor of being the Kohen who says the Birchas Kohanim alone, B'Kol, B'Kol HaKohanim Shebebeis HaKnesses, She'olu Imi Yachad Leduchen Shosku Oz B'Shomu Mimeni Levadi. They gave me the honor that I was the one who says the Birchas Kohanim out loud, and all the other Kohanim keep quiet. Shekach min hogom shom. That's the minig. Shekayin echad levad mevarech la'om b'kol.
that only one Kohen says the Birchas Kohanim, Ushaar Kohanim Sheolim Imo Yotzim Ozeh, Adi Dei Shomeh Kiyon Elavad. And all the other Kohanim who go up on the Duchen and stand with him, they are Yotzi, their mitzvah to bless the Jewish people because of Shomeh Kiyon. So what am I doing bringing it here? The Chalitvak. Ruvi Emes de Bozeh Osi Shaper Pashta Dekra. And with this minhag that they have, I understand now the pshat in the pasuk. Let's have a look at the pasuk. The pasuk says as follows: Perek Tes, pasuk Kafes. Vayisa Aharon es yadav el ha'am vayevarachem. And Aharon raised his hands over the congregation and he blessed them. Says the Reishis Bikurim, the Yesh lehakshos. Or more correctly, here we say the Yesh Lomar. His sons are also Kohanim. And the only one who said the brachas is Aharon. The Yesh Lomar. You know why? The bon of Shomu Mimenu. So we see even Pshat in the Pasuk is a smach for their minhag. That even though Aharon and his sons, all Kohanim, and all duty-bound to recite Birchas Kohanim, nevertheless, the only one who recited was Aharon, because seemingly that is the support for the Minhag, that when there are many Kohanim, only one Kohen is required to recite the Birchas Kohanim, and the others are Yotzei al Shomea Kiyon. That is a little fascinating insight into how a person learns Pshat in a Pasuk. Okay. We move on. We know, of course, that the dedication of the Mishkan was marred by the death of Nadav and Avihu. And here I want to bring a most illuminating essay by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, Emes LeYankov. Now let's have a look first of all at the Pasuk. Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph. Vayikachu v'nei Aharon Nadav v'Avihu ish machtoso v'yitnu v'hen eish v'yosimu aleho ketores v'yakrivu lefnei Hashem eish zoro asher lo tzivo osom. And they brought alien fire which Hashem had not commanded them, as a result of which in Pasuk Beis fire came out from God and consumed them and they died. So it seems quite obvious that the sin of which Nadav and Avihu are guilty is the fact that they brought alien fire into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk says so. Says Rabbi Yaakov, a man of masterful insight into Chazal. Hine b'misas b'nei Aharon Ravu Hadeos. If you look for the cause of why the Nadav and Avihu died, you will see in the Gemara and the Midrashim 6, 7, 8 reasons. Maroma, one rabbi says, Mipanesha Holu Halacha Bifnei Rabban, because they decided on halachic matters in the presence of their teachers. Maroma, another rabbi says, Shesuya Yayin Hoyu, they were a little inebriated. Maroma, another rabbi says, Shekvan Ischayu Besinai, they had been deserving of death already at Mount Sinai. Elo Shehimchin Mipanesha Loyar Vivis HaSimcha, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately held off from killing them so as not to disturb the Simcha of Matan Torah. Umar Omar, another rabbi said, Mipaneshino Nosu Noshim. They refused to get married. Omru, they said to themselves, Achi Avinu Melech. Our father's brother is a king. Achi Yimeinu Nisi Shemet. Our mother's brother is the prince of a tribe. Mihu Horo Ulanu. There isn't any shidduch which is deserving of us, quite frankly. As a result of which they left no descendants. Another reason is, they went into the temple precincts, the tabernacle, the Mishkan, we didn't wash the hands and feet. Another rabbi says, another reason why they died is because they never took advice one from the other. Another reason given is, because they said, when will these two old people die so that you and I can take over? The Yayin b'midrashim, yikarukh b'midrashim, nachamam b'nachamam. Says Rabbi Yaakov, ulepele hi lechura. It's extraordinary. Amai gavavu chazal chatoim shonim umishunim likadoshim halolim. Why are the rabbis busy looking around the entire text to find nachan aveda, mitnachan aveda, mitnachan aveda? Especially likadoshim halalu, of whom it is said, v'krovaya kodesh. Only amongst those who are near to me do am I sanctified. Umadua lo hispik lohem mashikosov mefurish patera. Why were the rabbis not happy with the simple explanation? Make nachan about problems. But says in the pasuk, "Vahakrivan eisoro asher lo tzivo alsam vahusifu chatoim elu shenin mezu b'mikra." Yes, there are allusions to every one of these. Every single opinion that can bring an allusion in the text. Aber umadua hinichu pshuto shel mikra shelechura maspiku. But why did they have to go looking? Why were they not content? The pasuk states, "Vahakrivan eisoro levli Hashem gendikt." Why did they go looking? What are Chazal after? Says Rabbi Yaakov. We need Rabbi Yaakov. This is a golden insight. V'hanira, follow him, Kerr. I offer the following explanation, what Chazal are after. The Chazal had a shayla. Yes, you know what the pasuk says? They brought strange fire, which was not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded. That's what it says in the pasuk. Chazal have a shayla. Yeah, you're right. That's what the pasuk says. But I don't understand. You have a Moshe Rabbeinu, and you have an Aharon HaKohen in your midst. How come you make a mistake? Surely you go to them, and you ask, is what we intend to do permitted, or is it forbidden? So Chazal are going the one step further. Yes, they brought Eish Toro Asher Letzivo Osam. But how come that they weren't guided by Moshe Rabbeinu Av Hanaviim? How come they made a mistake? Eich Yitachein B'Yemes Shekedoshim Halolu Avru. Chazal had the shayla, how come that these holy people transgressed? How come that they made a mistake and they were in the presence of Moshe and Aaron to ask any problem? Therefore the rabbis were forced to conclude, because they refused to ask. They passed in their own shilas even in the presence of Moshe and Aaron. So therefore what Chazal are saying is not contradicting the Pshuto Shel Mikra. It's going one step behind what happened to bring that about. Aval adayin einem yushev. But we still don't understand, say Chazal. Eich mila omli bom lahoros b'mekom Moshe Rabbeinu. How come they had the chutzpah to paskin shailas in the presence of Moshe and Aharon? That's a bigger shaila. Vekan tofsu hashoresh shemimenu nistoef ha'isr hazeh. And that is what made Chazal arrive at a conclusion that all their conduct stemmed from a character defect. The Al-Korchena, we are forced to conclude, say Chazal, to Eze Serech Shel Gassos Horuach Hoyoka, that there was an element of pride in the way they conducted their lives. So you'll ask, goes one step further, how come that these people could have been filled with pride, imagining themselves to be the equal of Moshe and Aharon? The Al Korchach, we are forced to conclude, that they were not totally satisfied with Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership. They were convinced that they could do the job better. It wasn't that they were jealous of his position, but they were of the opinion, meaning, we are convinced that we are quite capable of leading the Jewish people al piyat Torah even more than Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon. So Chazal went back stage by stage by stage and arrived, as it were, peering off each layer and discovering that at the root of everything that they did, which is conveyed in such succinct words in the Torah, there is behind those words a basic character defect. They are people who are imbued with their own self-importance. So therefore,
when the rabbi finds an allusion to the fact that they went in to officiate being Shesuya Yayin, he is also of a similar mind. Because in reality, Adayin Lo Nesra, you have to admit, says Rabbi Yaakov, that to be drunk when officiating has not as yet been handed down. Only later after the Maisav Nodav and Aviyu is it given. Uviyemes Yom Simcha Hulahem, and in fact it is a day of joy, the dedication of the tabernacle. Ki Hayom Nischanachu Bekehuna, today they were introduced as Kohanim. V'ho B'yom Chinuch Osim on a Sudas Bar Mitzvah, why couldn't they make a Sudah like a Sudas Bar Mitzvah? What's wrong? Ulefikach, therefore, Shosu Miyat, they drank a little. V'lo Shikurim, not to make themselves drunk, Ela Shesuya Yayin, but they had drink. Says Rabbi Yaakov, and the rabbi who says that that was the Ravelo is also of a similar mind, that the Ravelo was what? Not the little that they drank. This rabbi finds an allusion to the fact that they drank a little wine, and he says to himself, all right, not so bad. A half a glass. But why would people of that caliber not be afraid to go near any alcohol on a day when they are going to be part of the initiation of the Mishkan to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How come they allow themselves to drink even a thimbleful? The truth of the matter is, they were so full of their own importance that they allowed themselves to think that what we will do, we'll be able to do whatever we want and all will be well. And therefore you can be assured, say Chazal, that if that was an attitude which they had then, is Bevadai Gam Besinai, Ochlu Veshosu Veshah, Vayechazu Esholokim. And the same thing is, when the rabbis discovered through an allusion that the reason why they died was because they didn't marry, they traced the same thing again. They didn't marry not because they didn't have an opportunity. They didn't marry because in their own pride they were convinced that nobody is good enough for them. Aval Chazal, achrei sheyordu lesoch tocham, motzu bikoris boze, shegam kan goromo gasus haruach. So therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov, every single one of these opinions is the result of an analysis by Chazal of what went wrong in their character, which brought about all these variety of averos of which they were guilty. It can all be traced to one character defect, says Rabbi Yaakov. The Heine, when you should know, Bechol Adam Nimseis Nekudo Merkazis. In every individual you will find one central screw. Shehi Minio is Kol Chete Hovada. And that's the one that turns him on in regards to sin. Something, there's a scar there. There's a flaw, and it's that flaw that is responsible for the major part of a person's sins. The kav echad hu hamachriz olav kol michsholos ha'adah. And there is one line which goes through a person's character, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chazal who have the gadlus to see into the heart of man through the medium of the Torah are able to see what it was with Nadav and Aviyu. There was gaiva, and that caused a number of averos in varying forms. V'chein matzino harvei pa'omim shegein chorezu chazal v'riksu kol chetei ha'odom tachas kavechot v'duk boze shegein matzino kama piyomim. The rabbis are not arguing with each other. There's no one who says this and I don't agree. They all agree with each other. One says this, marom achadu, marom achadu. What Chazal were after is, when anybody does something wrong, when anybody does an Aveda, there has to be some reason why. Behind every Aveda is some character defect. Whether it is Chemdas Hamono, whether it is Gasus Horuach, it can be a variety of things, whether it's lust for power, whether it's another type of urges. But the majority of an individual's sins can be traced to one character defect. And they found it in Gasus Haruach, and all that Chazal say is only an elaboration of this theme. Chazal did not dispute Pshuto Shel Mikra. Chazal says, yes, that's what they did.
We're looking for why they did it.
And therefore, all that they say is the reason which brought about this particular sin for which they are held accountable by the Torah. So that's his particular thought. Since I mentioned the idea of being guided by the parameters of the Torah in order to achieve ends, this is a vital element in our Avodas Hashem, I thought it might be appropriate to mention a very fascinating observation of the Kli Yochor. And we have it here. I've Xeroxed it because sometimes the Kli Yochor in the old Mikros Gadolos is very often nearly illegible. For an animal to be kosher, it has to have two signs, Malagero and Mafreses Parso, cloven hooves and chew the cud. It's interesting, we're not going to look at it now. It's interesting that in Parshas Shemini, we are only given the signs, the two signs. In Parshas Re'eh, not only are we given the signs, but we're given the names of the kosher behemoths and chayas. The names of the non-kosher appear in Shemini. The names of the kosher do not appear in Shemini. It's very interesting that the Tshuva has some sofer about it. But just to notice, there's a very major difference between Shemini and Re'eh. Now, so, a number of non-kosher animals are highlighted because, although they have one sign, they don't have the other. So the Kli Yochor makes the following observation. Es hagomol, we're not allowed to eat the camel. Kimale geirohu, because even though it chews the cud, it doesn't have cloven hoof. So the Kli Yochor says, I don't understand. Hoyololomar, the puzzle should have said, you know why we can't eat the gomol? Ki parso eineno mafri. Because its hooves aren't cloven. She said, Iker, Tom, Elatuma. Because that seems to be the main reason why we can't eat it. The fact that it has, that it chews the cud, that's a kosher sign. It should have told you, you know why we can't eat the gomol? Because its hooves aren't cloven. But it doesn't say that. We can't have the gomol because it chews the cud, but its hooves aren't cloven. The chame shuffle via nevis kosher zeh. And likewise with the shuffle and the arnevis, the same kasha. And with regard to the chazer, you know what it says? We can't eat it. Why? Ki mafris parso. It has cloven hooves. Hoyololomar, it should have said, you know why we can't have the chazer? Sien and amalagayla. Because it doesn't chew the good. Velova hiskil bekulam. So why did it begin in each of these cases, the simitar or shalahem? By telling you, it's got one thing going for it, over selpet. Why didn't it say? You can't have it because. Says the Kli Yochor. Ubiur inyan zeh. Please think about this one. The explanation is as follows. Shesimen taharo shebekulom mosif tuma al tuma. The kosher sign of each of these non-kosher animals makes it even more treif. Interesting observation. In the same way as Chazal have said regarding Esau, shenimshal lechazir, that Esau is compared to a pig, sheposhet estilafov, who sticks his cloven hooves in your eyes, leharoski ilu hu kosher, as in an attempt to say, you see, I got kosher feet. V'tocho mole tuch umirma, whilst the inside is full of deceit and filth. V'zeh more al kol mi she'ein tocho kebaro kemidas hatsevuim hamarim es atzmom kesherim v'heim belisofik geruim min horosho hagomor she'tocho ubaro shovim l'ra'a. The Rasha, who looks good on the outside but is treif on the inside, is a greater treifkeit than a person who is outside and inside treif. He's like the tzevuim, like the hypocrites, who make out like they are one thing when in reality they are not, and they are a greater danger and a greater threat, dafka because there are signs which we, in our innocence, presume to be a sign of kashrus. And when we realize that the greatest tumor is the tumor that looks good on the outside, but when you, a lesser is when inside and outside you are the same, even if it's treif. As Rashi says on the Pasuk Legabe Yosef's brothers, V'lo yochlu dabro l'shalom, they were not able to speak to Yosef in peace, on which Rashi comments, Mitoch genusam misaper shvacham, in the midst of their disgrace, the Torah relates their praises. Yosef knew where he stood with them. They didn't make any attempt to disguise their attitudes and their feelings towards him. The Alkain, therefore, Hafrosas pars of the Chazir, the cloven hooves of a Chazir, who simen tumah, is not a sign of kashrus, it's a sign of treifus. Lefisha beparsazu hu yochola hatos habrios hu laharos keilu hu kosher. V'chein behepach ze begomol v'shofen v'yaneves. Ah, you'll say to me, v'yaf al pisha kolmidos elu enum shayochim bebehemus. Even though you might say to me, these characteristics of hypocrisy and all the rest of it are not appropriate to animals. Nevertheless, mikol mokom hei molidum techun ora zu beguf ho'ochel. Nevertheless, when we eat, if we were to eat them, they would give us part of their characteristics. Ki kol ocholov yeshomu lihiyos min akitos hatzvuim hamarim es asmam kesherim k'moes of a chavir. The greatest treifkeit is when they have a symbol which looks to us to be kosher. When they gather together and they do everything which is disgraceful, but they have an ordin kodesh with a Torah in it. That's a simen treifus. It's not a simen kashrus. A sefer Torah in these places where Shabbos is desecrated and ma'acholas asuras is desecrated, a sefer Torah in these places is not a simen kashrus. It's a simen treifus. The fact that they sell chumashim outside in the vestibule on Shabbos, that's a simen treifus, not a simen kashrus. As the Ramban says, when he speaks about people who keep to the letter of the law, and they can even keep it to the letter of the law, they can still be rogues, novel bereshus haTorah, a rogue even within the confines of the Torah. The words novel bereshus haTorah can be translated differently. It can be translated as the people who want to be rogues, but they're not satisfied with being rogues. They want to be rogues and tell us and try to fool us that it's bereshus haTorah, that that's the true Yiddishkeit. They want to be novel. They want to be mechallel Shabbos. They want to eat the velus and treifus, and they want to assure us that it's bereshus haTorah. That's the modern Judaism. That's the richtige Torah. So this is a very, very important, a very important in the Kli Yoker, that we have to recognize that in these animals that we may not eat, what appears to us to be a simen kashrus is in fact a simen treifus, because it deceives and it deludes, because they are not honest to who they really are. And that's why they capture with all their slogans and with all the vaniveroid chastecho of obesecho in front of their synagogue, so-called. And let me just conclude in regards to Ma'acholos Asuros, a very fascinating story which is given over by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal. He tells us that the Rambam paid a visit to Yemen. We know he had great bonds with that community. He wrote his famous Igeres Taimon. And while he was in Yemen, he came into contact with a very extraordinary Talmud Chacham and became greatly impressed by him. And as a result of this, they entered into correspondence. He would write the Rambam Shailas, the Rambam would write answer him tshuvas. One occasion, the Rambam received a letter from this rabbi, and in it he had a question of a philosophical, theological nature, and the Rambam read this question from the letter, and he said to himself, a believing Jew does not ask such questions, and refused from then on to answer this Godel from Yemen. The Godel didn't know anything. The post was even worse than it is nowadays. He thought the reason why he hadn't got a letter from the Rambam is because it may be second-class mail order. Years went by, and the rabbi writes and writes and writes to the Rambam, beseeching a reply. And the Rambam, it's sad, hanimus, from the point of view of menschlichkeit, although he feels he doesn't want to answer, he has to write something. He writes him back the following. Please go and investigate who your shochet is. And he went, and he discovered the shochet had not been faithful to his job, and had been machil nevelus and treifus to the community for 13 years, and confessed. And the Rambam, when he heard this, he said, a person who eats ma'acholos asuros, a Jew who eats ma'acholos asuros, can ask that type of question. No matter how great a godly is, as the Cleocer says, when you eat, you take on their characteristics. And I was convinced from when I met him that there was only one way, finally, eventually I realized there was only one way a man...